The economy is definitely slowing. This means that government revenues are slowing.
Tonight, new spending and a ballooning price tag. The Trudeau government unveils this year's fiscal plan. We break down what it means for you and your family.
Good evening. We bring you the details of the federal budget shortly, but we do want to begin with some troubling allegations of school negligence out of Hamilton tonight.
The mother of a young girl says her daughter suffered severe trauma following an injury at her school. CTV's Allison Hurst reports on the claims and the fallout.
Surrounded by supporters, Janita Marie Harrison demands justice for her daughter.
My daughter now has this disability for the rest of her life because of your failures.
Autumn Rose was in a bathroom at Prince of Wales Elementary School when, Harrison says, a student slammed a door, crushing her hand. According to the paramedics report, it caused a partial amputation of the pad of her right ring finger, and the child had possibly hit her head.
My child was placed in an ambulance unaccompanied by school personnel, left bleeding profusely from a partially amputated fingertip.
Harrison is taking legal action, saying the school board failed to act in a reasonable manner, claiming negligence regarding bullying and student safety.
We know that negligence is a form of abuse, and she could have been spared this trauma had the HWDSB prevented this negligence.
Harrison outlined a list of demands for her daughter's case, as well as for the school board to make systemic changes.
We want to express our compassion to the family and to the student for the injury that was sustained. And we are taking in their feedback.
The school board is investigating the incident.
There is a procedure that happens when any child is injured in our school, and we follow that to the best that we can.
I'm upset. It's been a long 6 months. I want myself back. I want my daughter's finger back. I'd like to be able to take her to play basketball and do the things that she used to be able to do.
Turning five today, a shy Autumn Rose had this to say.
Thank you for helping me. Love you guys.
Allison Hurst, CTV News, Hamilton.
Four people are recovering tonight following a bad crash along the border of Caledon and Brampton. Two cars collided near Mayfield Road and Stonegate Drive shortly after 2 this afternoon. Police say one person was taken to a trauma center. The other three were driven to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. A cause is still under investigation. As the city struggles with the aftermath of this weekend's violence along the TTC, there is word tonight of yet another subway attack involving a teen victim.
This one last Thursday at Bathurst Station. Our Sean Lee Fong is at the station tonight and joins us now. Sean, what happened?
Well, Nathan and Michelle, it was about 9:15 on Thursday morning when a 15-year-old boy was actually going on the escalator up to street level from the platform when, according to police, a man who was walking in front of him turned around and punched this boy in the face. Now, we have some footage, some images that the police released to us. The suspect was wearing a multicolored hat. You can see that hat and some white lettering on the front, as well as having a brown beard. He also was about 6'2" in height, and they estimate his age to be about 30, 35 years old. Now, there's another image where you can see in full frame he had some dark pants, and there was a camouflage stripe down the side. Police are hoping that anybody who can see that, because this is a very distinctive-looking person, may recognize this man, and please give them a call because they do want information. But this also comes on the heels of many attacks in or around subway stations, most notably in recent past. On Saturday, a 16-year-old boy at Keele Station being stabbed and killed. So while police are looking for information on this suspect, I was speaking to riders today and asking them how they feel and have they altered their habits when on the subway.
I've always known Toronto to be a safe place for, you know, all kinds of people, but hearing about these things kind of worries me a bit. So there's been a change in how I approach riding the TTC lately. I always feel like I'm looking behind my back, over my shoulder.
Yeah, I'll keep my back against the wall because I've heard people get pushed off the platform, things like that, and I'm definitely turning my music down a little more, not zoning out as much.
I was afraid to go by myself, and I asked my husband to come with me.
How do you feel when you're in there?
Nervous.
Yeah.
Like there's dangerous people on the subway, and not much we can do about it.
Now, when asking people what they would like to see on the subway, most of them said they would like to see some form of security or more personnel just to make them feel safe and not worried about who's around them. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lee Thong. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Scaling back on cleaning. The budget cut that has city councilors concerned about health and safety inside public buildings. That's coming up.
Well, the sunshine made a comeback on this Tuesday, and the view outside tonight, it is lovely. The clouds in the mix, not having too much of an impact on the skyline, but a heads up tomorrow, we will trade in the clear sky we had today for potentially wintry weather. Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions. Lindsay, what are we in for?
Well, here's the thing, Michelle, that wintry blast is going to happen all of a sudden after a pretty nice start to the day tomorrow. Not much to show you right now on the satellite and radar, as mentioned. We've been watching a couple of pop-up isolated showers around Niagara and the west end of the GTA. These are tapering off as we make our way through the early part of this evening. Winds are relatively calm today. They will strengthen big time for tomorrow afternoon. Current temperature is 5 degrees. It does feel a bit colder than that. And this is, as mentioned, a bit of a calm before the storm. -1, the forecast low for tonight under mainly clear skies. What we're looking at tomorrow is a frontal squall, which could bring us a little bit of rain to start, followed by a burst of heavy flurries and some very strong winds as well. It's also going to send our temperature plummeting. We have lots to discuss in your forecast coming up. For now, Nathan, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Canada's finance minister says a plan to balance the books in 5 years is no longer in the works.
That news, part of a fiscal budget that promises new spending with the hope of helping Canadians still struggling from the pandemic and inflation. CTV's Glenn McGregor explains.
With an economy teetering on the brink of shallow recession, the new federal budget will run up a higher deficit than expected just 4 months ago. $40.1 billion in the red for the coming fiscal year, not $30.6 billion as the government predicted in the fall economic statement, all with no projected date to bring the books back into balance.
There could be a recession. Private sector economists are predicting a soft landing if there is. But the economy is definitely slowing. This means that government revenues are slowing.
New spending totals nearly $70 billion over 6 years, but that's offset by $25 billion in government spending cuts and savings. The centerpiece of this budget, incentives to stimulate investment in the green economy. A 15% tax credit to build out the supply of green electricity at a cost of $6.3 billion over 4 years, and a 30% credit for investment in clean technology manufacturing at a cost of $4.5 billion over 5 years, intended to speed up extraction of critical minerals used for batteries. The government hopes the measures will act as a foil to the massive green infrastructure incentives offered in the U.S. by the Biden administration.
Our friends and partners around the world, chief among them, the United States, are investing heavily to build clean economies and the net zero industries of tomorrow.
A big chunk of the spending comes from previously announced commitments for healthcare transfers, daycare, and dental care. There are also moves to help consumers dealing with inflation and the higher cost of living, an increase to the GST credit, rebranded as a grocery rebate, that provides a maximum one-time payment of $467 to a family of four, $2.5 billion directed to 11 million people with lower or modest income. To the opposition, Freeland's budget is both too much and not enough.
All that they have delivered is more debt, more inflation, and more costs on the backs of the hardworking and beleaguered people of this country.
This government hasn't responded to the urgency of the housing crisis, that they haven't put in place changes to EI, given that we're up against a recession. So there's things that we're not satisfied by.
Drinkers will get a break with an increase on the excise duty on alcohol capped at 2% instead of the scheduled 6% rise. The agency responsible for airline security will get $1.8 billion over 5 years to speed processing times, but passengers will pay for it. The air traveler security charge will rise from $14.96 to $19.87 on domestic round-trip flights and $25.91 to $34.42 on international trips.
The Conservatives say they will vote against this economic plan, but the NDP will support it. And that means the minority Liberal government will survive the confidence vote and the budget will pass. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
And CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver joins us now from Ottawa. Annie, not as rosy an economic picture as previously anticipated.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's really one of the biggest takeaways of this budget. As you heard in Glenn's report, you know, initially the previous economic update had said that Canada would be in a balanced budget position and, in fact, have about a $4.5 billion surplus within about 5 years. And now it seems that the Liberal government has sort of abandoned that pledge or attempt to get to balance, because within 5 years, it's estimated that the deficit will be about $14 billion. This budget, you know, compared to the most recent economic update, adds an additional $10 billion to the deficit this year. And I think a lot of people are looking at this budget, and a lot of economists we talked to, and said, given high interest rates, given high inflation and attempts around the world to combat that, many of the economists we were speaking to were surprised that the Liberals didn't pull back on their spending. This budget has about nearly $70 billion worth of new spending over the next 6 years, but there is about $25 billion worth of savings, including about $15 billion worth of savings that the government intends to find from the public service. And one of the moves, Michelle, that they're going to do is look across all departments and agencies, and within a few years, what they want to see is a 3% reduction in overall budgets. They're also saying that across the federal government, they're going to reduce the use of consultants like McKinsey, for example, which has been in the news a lot recently, and travel by 15%. So they are trying to find some savings, but some have said, you know, perhaps given the economic outlook, even the budget says that there may be a potential recession sometime this year, though mild. Some economists are saying perhaps there's a bit too much spending. The finance minister, however, says, look, they needed to balance an economic situation with investing in priorities, which for them were affordability, health care, dental care, and the shift to clean tech. And the finance minister says they found that balance, and she says they are being fiscally responsible while also investing in areas that the federal government says are much needed right now.
Annie, what's missing in the budget that maybe was previously expected?
So there's nothing in here about pharmacare, to the disappointment of the NDP. This has been something that they have been pushing for. So there's nothing in there. There's also nothing in this budget for defense spending and the modernization of NORAD. Canada is under a lot of pressure from NATO and from the Americans to increase defense spending. And there's nothing significant in this budget that really does that. NATO wants us to be at 2% of GDP spent on defense. And the best estimates right now is that Canada is somewhere between 1.2% and 1.5%. So those are some areas. And, you know, I've also heard some people criticize this budget for not enough investment in housing. The last budget did put a lot of emphasis on housing. And so there was investment, you know, about a year ago. But experts are saying that this is still a crisis. And so some of the people we talked to today said perhaps there could have been more money put into housing in this budget.
CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver live for us on a very busy day in Ottawa. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Michelle.
Take care.
Turning now to one Toronto family's heartache and grief over a senseless killing.
The Magalas family lost their son over the weekend. The teen, just the latest victim in a continuing string of violence and crime along our transit system. CTV's Mike Walker is in Etobicoke tonight. He joins us live. Mike, you've been speaking with the family.
Yes, I have, Michelle. We spoke with them just a short time ago at their home here in Etobicoke. And Gabriel Magalas' grieving parents tell us they are feeling numb. They say their son was full of hopes and dreams, but his life cut tragically short in an unprovoked attack at the Kiel subway station. And by speaking out, they're hoping more can be done to address support for people in crisis.
But I feel like I am completely empty, drained. All my light has gone out.
There are no words to describe the pain Andrea and Antonio Magalas are enduring after losing their 16-year-old son Gabriel in an unprovoked attack at Kiel subway station Saturday night.
My Gabriel, I miss him so much. He was a good, good kid. I loved him to death. He was hardworking. He was passionate. He was athletic. I loved how he loved snowboarding.
A perfect kid. I never saw an attitude from him like a teenager attitude.
The Etobicoke Collegiate student was returning home with friends after going to the Eden Center when he was stabbed multiple times while sitting on a bench inside the subway station. The family heard about the deadly attack on the news. They frantically tried to text their son, but those messages went unanswered. Then, in the middle of the night, they say two officers showed up at their front door.
I see two shadows. So when I see the two shadows through the glass, I knew. All the pieces were together. I opened the door, obviously, but then I collapsed.
22-year-old Jordan O'Brien Tobin of no fixed address has been charged with first-degree murder. Gabriel's parents moved to Canada from Brazil in 2000, looking for a better life and a safe place to live and raise a family.
And I felt these are safe stations. I felt comfortable with both my sons, Gabriel and Lucas, taking the subway.
Court documents from Newfoundland show that police there have an active arrest warrant for O'Brien Tobin, which was first issued in 2021 for breaching a probation order. According to those documents, he pleaded guilty to threatening a group of people back in February 2020. Today, the premier was asked what more the province can do to make the TTC safe.
We're throwing everything we can at this, but again, it's kind of a three-prong approach. Number one, we got to catch these guys. Number two, we got to sentence them. And the people that need help, they need to go get help. We can't just release them.
By speaking out, Gabriel's parents want immediate action from all levels of government.
That the city, the province could do something better. We're in a first world country.
To not only address the violence on the TTC, but do more to help people in crisis.
Can we please recognize that we have a horrible situation happening that needs to be addressed? And again, this is not a minor issue. We're talking about investment in health. We're talking about investment in education. We're talking about investment in housing. All of that needs to be addressed.
Miguelis' parents say his dream was to go to university to study astrophysics. Instead, tomorrow they'll be planning his funeral. As for the accused O'Brien Tobin, his next court date is scheduled for Friday. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Mike.
A man is fighting for his life in hospital after being hit by a car in Mississauga. Police say he was struck during the morning rush near Ridgeway Drive and Unity. He was taken to a trauma center with life-threatening injuries. No word on the victim's name or whether there may be charges.
The OPP say they've nabbed a driver with a lead foot on the 401 in Durham region. Police tweeted these photos from a traffic stop on the highway in Ajax. A 20-year-old was caught going 200 kilometers an hour, which is double the speed limit. Their G2 license has been suspended for 30 days, and they've been charged with stunt driving and careless driving.
Whooping cough is on the rise in southern Ontario. Provincial officials say they're seeing infections jump from the single digits in previous years to more than 80 since January of 2022. Young children at the highest risk of severe complications. Whooping cough can lead to pneumonia, dehydration, and brain damage if left untreated. Officials are urging people to get vaccinated. A horrific string of events continues to unfold northeast of Quebec following the stabbing death of a local police officer.
As CTV's Vanessa Lee explains, authorities there are mourning the loss of one of their own as they try to investigate how such a tragedy could happen.
Shock is rippling through this small Quebec town and beyond after a police officer was killed on the job.
It's a really tough time, not just for his teammates, who do the intervention with her yesterday, but also for the other police officer.
Sergeant Maureen Breau and another officer were arresting a man for uttering threats at around 8:30 last night when he grabbed a knife and stabbed Breau. Officers who later arrived at the scene shot and killed the 35-year-old suspect. Quebec's police watchdog has taken over the investigation.
I want to offer all my condolences to family of Maureen Breau, also to all police people. They have a tough job.
Breau was in her early 40s, a mother of two children. She served with the Quebec Provincial Police Force for 22 years. Her husband is also an officer. Her death comes as two Edmonton police officers were laid to rest. 35-year-old Constable Travis Jordan and 30-year-old Constable Brett Ryan were killed while responding to a domestic dispute call earlier this month.
There are no words. This is too many now. We have to continue to find ways to support law enforcement.
A second officer in Louisville was injured but is expected to recover. Sergeant Bro is the ninth police officer killed in the line of duty in Canada in the last 6 months. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Police in Calgary are investigating an overnight shooting that led to the death of a teenage girl. Officers say she was killed in an alley in the city's northeast. They say the teen was discovered in the passenger seat of a black Mustang. No arrests have been made, but the driver is being questioned by officers. Police do not know whether the shooting was targeted.
A Manitoba girl is being called a hero after saving her two younger brothers from a house fire. The 12-year-old was home after school after her brothers or with her brothers earlier this month when she says she smelled smoke coming from a bathroom. As flames quickly spread, the grade 7 student grabbed her young brothers and escaped. The home was severely damaged, but no one was injured. The 12-year-old credits a recent babysitting course for her quick thinking.
To a CTV News follow now, and Toronto's plan to cut cleaning services at several major city buildings.
The measure is meant to save money during a tight budget year, but some suggest the overall cost could be too much to handle. CTV's Natalie Johnson joins us now. Natalie, you have an update on this story tonight.
Well, Nathan, City Council is set to take a look at this plan tomorrow, with some councillors saying they want to reverse this cutback. The union, though, is insisting that cleaning hours are already being cut at some city buildings.
It is a cut that councillors allege was buried in the budget, a cap on the custodial cleaning of City Hall and other civic centres.
It should never have been just hidden in an appendix that was, you know, in this, like, shadowy part of the budget that that the mayor moved forward on.
In a memo sent to QP Local 79 at the beginning of the month, city staff warned that some workers would have their cleaning shifts capped at 30 hours a week as part of a plan to save $500,000 this year. Councillors insisted they'd been blindsided, and a city committee called for a pause on the plan and a health and safety review.
I'm a strong believer in the broken window theory, that if you let things start looking messy and dirty, it'll just get worse. And then you run into a problem of potential mold, dust particles, air quality, workplace safety issues. So there is a price to pay when you cut down custodial.
But the union says their custodians are already being notified of cuts to their hours, which the city says are related to industry standards and not this year's budget. So any 2023 reductions would cut deeper than that.
Many people will be kind of upset that, hey, what are you doing, cutting hours, moving people to part-time? Don't we still have needs for cleanliness?
But Councillor Stephen Holliday says if the city can't balance the books, it has to cut somewhere.
How many times can you vacuum a clean carpet or clean a washroom that hasn't been used? So it's very important that City Hall looks for these type of efficiencies as it considers and approves a budget.
The union says up to 200 custodial staff stand to be affected. City Council will debate the cleaning cutback tomorrow.
Now, the other part of this cutback plan involves reducing the operating hours of City Hall and other civic centres. Staff have said that they won't need to be cleaned as often if they are open less, though some councillors say that raises a whole other question about taxpayer access to these facilities and their services. Reporting live at City Hall, I'm Natalie Johnson. Back to you.
Thanks, Natalie. Good for the environment, but bad for your health. So-called forever chemicals found in certain food packaging could be toxic. What's being done to reduce the risk? Coming up.
The clock is ticking when it comes to filing your taxes, but not just because of the deadline, but also a looming strike. Thousands of Canada Revenue Agency workers are threatening job action, and it could cause a delay for Canadians trying to file their 2022 taxes by May 1st. Experts are advising everyone to file sooner rather than later. Voting on strike action is set to end on April 7th.
A warning about some of the details and video in this next story. We're learning more details tonight about the mass shooting at a Nashville elementary school.
We also have body cam footage taken by police moments before the shooter was taken down. And again, a warning, some viewers may find the images disturbing. CTV's Scott Lightfoot has the latest.
A memorial grows outside of the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee, site of yesterday's mass shooting.
This school, this church building, was a target of the shooter, but we have no information at present to indicate that the shooter was specifically targeting any one of the six individuals.
Three children and three staff members were killed in the shooting. The shooter has been identified as 28-year-old Audrey Hale. Security camera footage from inside the school shows Hale wandering the halls, weapon in hand. In body camera footage released by Nashville police today, you can hear gunfire as police search the school just minutes after receiving the first 911 call. Officers found Hale, who is a former student at the school, in an area on the second floor of the building. Seconds later, police opened fire and the shooter was dead.
We've determined that Audrey bought seven firearms from five different local gun stores here legally. They were legally purchased. Three of those weapons were used yesterday during this horrific tragedy.
Hale, who was born female, had been using male pronouns on social media. Their parents told investigators they believe their child had sold the only gun in their possession.
She was under care, doctor's care, for an emotional disorder. Law enforcement knew nothing about the treatment she was receiving. But her parents felt that she should not own weapons.
Some laying flowers at the school today called for action.
This is heartbreaking and ridiculous, and this should never, ever, ever, ever happen. Yeah. And anything that can be done to prevent this needs to be done.
Nashville's mayor agrees.
We owe it to the parents. Everybody that's attending every vigil in Nashville feels that there needs to be a public response to this kind of tragedy. And to say enough is enough.
Police are now going through numerous writings Hale left behind, searching for a motive. Those who knew the shooter now left with many unanswered questions.
I don't know. I don't know where she was, you know, what she was dealing with. I don't know.
Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
In Mexico, at least 39 people are dead after a fire broke out in a dormitory at a migrant detention center. Phone footage captured the scene from inside the building moments before emergency crews arrived. Mexico's president says migrants fearing deportation set mattresses on fire. Officials say 68 men from Central and South America were being held in the center at the time. 29 people were also injured.
Star Wars actor Mark Hamill has lent his legendary voice to Ukraine's Air Raid app. The software is linked to Ukraine's air defense system and will now feature English language warnings. Hamill has long been a voice actor for animated films and series. The alert begins with air raid sirens before users hear Hamill's voice urging them to find shelter. When the alert is over, he signs off with the famous Star Wars phrase, "May the Force be with you." Well, the Leafs have another night off, but there is no rest tonight for fans anxiously awaiting the playoffs.
The Buds officially qualified for the postseason Monday. Members past and present are marking the achievement with excitement and a bit of fun for a good cause. Our Raheem Ladani joins us now. Raheem.
Well, Michelle, good evening. The crowd that's building behind me, they're here for a Raptors game. But as you mentioned, we're talking Leafs because, yes, they did qualify for the playoffs yesterday. As we all know, hockey is one of the most popular sports in Canada. But the reality is that it's not the most accessible. Well, starting today, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is hoping to change that.
Plastic sticks smacking the pavement while a bright orange ball hits the back of the net. The sounds of street hockey being played by many of these kids for the very first time.
The next generation of fans are going to look different, are going to be different. They already are different, and we have to be more intentional to break down these barriers.
Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, alongside Drew House, a brand co-founded by Justin Bieber, and Tim Hortons, are launching House of Hockey, an initiative to make the sport accessible to all youth.
Right now it's street hockey. It's going to happen all summer, and we're partnering with community groups that these youth are familiar with. So whether it's their local community center or an organization that's delivering sport at the grassroots level.
Leafs alumnus Darcy Tucker, Wendell Clark, and even current president Brendan Shanahan all picked up a twig but not taking it easy on the young athletes.
Well, the faces of hockey are always changing. We're always trying to grow the game, and I think it's great. They brought some of the old stuff back. Darcy and I are using the old wood hockey sticks again.
While street hockey has taken over Maple Leaf Square, in a few weeks, this area is going to be packed with fans watching playoff hockey as the Leafs have clinched the postseason for the seventh straight year.
For sure they're going to go past the first round.
That seems to be this year's benchmark for fans who watch the Leafs locally as well as overseas.
Ironically, for the UK, we actually do follow hockey a lot. So my cousin actually played for the Maple Leafs, but like as a junior.
But not winning a postseason series since 2004 has left others with little belief.
I think they're going to lose in the first round again.
Why?
They're just not good enough.
With nine regular season games left, the Leafs are still playing to secure home ice advantage, which some alumni say not to underestimate.
The energy that this building can bring come playoff time, both Wendell and I know that home ice advantage is a huge key in some series.
While back on the street, the key is having fun.
Now, while it's not all set in stone, in all likelihood, the Leafs will play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the playoffs. If that does pan out, it'll be a rematch of last year when the Leafs lost in seven games. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Raheem. Well, coming up, given just over a year to live, his set of wheels offered freedom and hope during a dark time. One man's mission to get his stolen rollerblades back.
Squall will swing through tomorrow, and with this, we can expect rain showers, a quick change to some heavy flurries, and then some very strong winds. The morning commute is going to be spared with this one, but the timing of the messy weather just might coincide with picking up the kids from school. We'll show you how much snow could end up accumulating and how much our temperature is going to drop. That's coming up.
Fire crews in London have been working to get a large barn blaze under control. The building belongs to a dairy farm that runs alongside the 401. Officials say the fire started sometime after 2 this afternoon. No injuries have been reported and no animals have been harmed. This next story is about a pair of stolen rollerblades.
Might seem rather insignificant until you hear the story behind them and why a local man really wants his beloved wheels back. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
So I opened my door.
On the way to the hospital for his 18th and final radiation treatment, Joe Soros made a terrible discovery.
When I saw the guy, like, tears came out of my eyes. That's how I felt.
His missing Bauer rollerblades with neon wheels didn't come cheap, but it's not about how much they cost. 1 year ago, Soros was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. Doctors gave him 15 months to live. He's loved rollerblading. To the hospital.
Freedom, encouragement, knowing that I, 64 years old, can do it. And, you know, I go show up at the hospital and see people's faces with rollerblades, and they look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I mean? Just a great feeling to have.
Soros says the rollerblades were in the front passenger side of the van, taken sometime between Friday midday and Monday morning. He's filed a police report in the hopes of getting them back. Police say without any witnesses or video, it can be harder to recover property. In this case, the vehicle doesn't appear to be tampered with, but in the case of a break and enter, police may investigate further for fingerprints to identify a suspect.
It was 3/4 full.
Soros says it was obvious somebody was in the van, items were disturbed, and he found this coffee inside the cup holder. Soros doesn't know his latest prognosis. He has an upcoming CT scan, but says he feels stronger than ever.
Oh, I'm not dying. I'm going lower. I got to take care of my grandchildren now, make sure they're good, and have what I didn't have when I was a young kid.
It would mean the world to him to have his rollerblades.
They're mine. I mean, you know, like, please give them back to me. You know, that's all I ask. Somehow, some way.
A set of wheels with the gift of lifting his spirit. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
All right, let's talk about the forecast now. So we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to the snow.
I hate to even be talking about snow. However, I mean, fair to say it's not like we're going to be shoveling.
No, I don't think we're going to have to shovel this, at least not in Toronto, maybe in some other communities around southern Ontario, because not only are we looking at a squall line that's going to swing through, but some lake effect snow could impact communities after that. It's a beautiful evening tonight. Get outside and enjoy if you can, because not only do we have this brief but intense blast of winter coming tomorrow afternoon, but we have another round of active weather for Friday, and it looks like the end of March, it's going to be on a soggy note. Those details right now. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. Now, I do want to mention, speaking of soggy weather, my goodness, it hasn't been all that soggy this March in the city of Vancouver. Normally, they'd pick up upwards of 100 millimeters of rain. Hasn't happened this year. And why is this important? Well, it looks as though Toronto is going to end up having a rainier March than Vancouver. That does not happen very often. It's dry tonight in most areas. As mentioned, we've had a couple of pop-up showers here and there today. Some areas even getting a little bit of grapple or what looks like hail or snow pellets. That's been happening today in parts of the GTA. But here comes this cold front. It's sharp. It's going to bring us some very strong winds and also, yes, some precipitation. So we're going to start off with some sunshine tomorrow morning. Here's about the noon hour. It looks like some snow is going to begin for areas to our north and to our west. You'll notice how widespread this is because it is a front. Looks like a little bit of rain could kick things off. We'll change very quickly to some snow. So keep an eye on that timestamp. That's about 3 o'clock tomorrow, just in time for the kids to head home from school and just ahead of that afternoon rush. This all moves on out by the time we reach the dinner hour, but behind this front, we're still going to have some very strong winds and the temperature is going to fall. More on that in just a moment. But let's show you the lake effect bands that could form overnight. Thursday itself is looking like a pretty clear day. We'll enjoy some sunshine, but it is going to be chilly. And then I'll step aside here so you can see the leading edge of our next system. It's a Colorado low, and that's what's going to impact us on Friday. How much snow? Maybe a trace to 2 centimeters here in the city of Toronto, but closer to 5 is going to be possible for some of those traditional snow belt areas as we make our way into the day on Thursday. Winds will be especially strong mid-afternoon to tomorrow. They really don't let up all that much through the nighttime hours. Finally, overnight, we'll see them ease somewhat. But there's about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 80 kilometer per hour gusts in Niagara, maybe 70K in Hamilton, and about 65 for us here in the city. -1 is our forecast low for overnight tonight. At our warmest tomorrow, we could be around 8 degrees, and then by the dinner hour tomorrow, temperature could be around the freezing mark. Forecast overnight low, -7. That's cold for this time of year and quite the drop. There's the 7-day forecast. Periods of rain for Friday, maybe some mixed precipitation for Saturday as we welcome the month of April. That's your look at the weather for now. And weather was brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. Nathan, I'm going to send it over to you.
All right, thank you. Also tonight, so-called forever chemicals found in Canadian fast food packaging. Why some of the alternatives could be worse.
Returning to a topic we first brought you last night and the concerns over a rise in so-called forever chemicals.
Tonight, health reporter Pauline Chan takes a closer look at why they may be harmful to you and your family, and what you can do to reduce the risk.
Professor Miriam Diamond says she's all for getting rid of single-use plastics. What she's not for is use of an alternative that could be hazardous to your health.
We studied paper-based containers, so anything that's made out of paper or fiberboard.
Her team collected 43 containers from common fast food restaurants.
We found that about half of them had PFAS in them, or an indication of PFAS.
Closer examination of 8 showed some could be very dangerous.
We found a type of PFAS that can be converted into something that is relatively toxic. So that's the reason why we're concerned.
PFAS are a group of some 10,000 chemicals with an incredibly strong bond, so they're impossible to break down, hence the name forever chemicals.
Some of the PFAS transfers to the food, especially if the food is greasy. and especially if the food is warm or hot.
They interfere with the metabolism of lipids and have been linked with cancer, especially kidney and testicular, altered cholesterol levels, type 2 diabetes, low birth weight babies, and immune system dysfunction. But Dr. Lauren Klotz says the evidence for cancer or any other health problem is still weak.
The evidence that this is having any effect on human health is really very tenuous.
Because there's no indication of which food packaging contains PFAS, Diamond is calling on the government to regulate packaging. She also suggests people reduce their consumption of fast or processed foods. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
Plans are in the works for the third season of The White Lotus.
Welcome to The White Lotus in Sicily.
After settings in Hawaii and Italy, creators of the hit HBO dramedy say the upcoming season will take place in Thailand. No word yet on the cast. The White Lotus's second season dominated the Emmy Awards last year, winning in 5 categories.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, could AMC be in for new ownership? What sent shares in the theater chain soaring today?
Gabriel, I miss him so much. He was a good, good kid.
Updating our top stories, the family of Gabriel Magalhães is speaking out after their son was stabbed to death at Kiel subway station on Saturday. The 16-year-old's murder has sparked renewed debate about safety on the TTC.
My daughters are my life. I will fight for them. I'll fight for their friends, and I'll fight for the rest of the innocent children.
The mother of a 5-year-old girl is suing the Hamilton Wentworth District School Board over an alleged bullying incident. The lawsuit alleged the board was negligent in protecting the child.
The next generation of fans are going to look different, are going to be different. They already are different, and we have to be more intentional to break down these barriers.
Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is partnered with Justin Bieber's Drew House and Tim Hortons to make hockey more accessible. The House of Hockey initiative aims to grow the game at the grassroots level in communities throughout the city.
In business, AMC may have a new owner soon. Paul Bagnell of BNN Bloomberg has the details and reaction.
Shares of AMC, the U.S. movie theater operator, soared by as much as 18% this afternoon. A report on the Intersect website said Amazon.com is considering buying AMC. AMC has nearly 600 theaters in the U.S., Europe, and the Middle East. It does not operate in Canada. A big deal was announced in Canada's oil sector today. Crescent Point Energy agreed to buy a package of oil-producing properties in Alberta from Spartan Delta for $1.7 billion. Shares of Spartan Delta rose as much as 8% on the news. Let's take a look at some of the closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar was little changed at 73.5 cents U.S., West Texas Intermediate crude oil gained 39 cents per barrel and was trading at $73.20 U.S. And Western Canadian Select oil gained about 44 cents U.S. to trade at $58.77 U.S. per barrel. And on the stock markets, Canada's S&P TSX Composite Index rose 33 points to finish at 19,657 points and change. That's the latest in business. I'm Paul Bagnell at BNN Bloomberg.
Just ahead, communicating through color, how one Ontario man has used art to transform his life in a big way.
Hi, Michelle and Nathan. On the next CP24 Breakfast, governments are taking action over TikTok. We'll speak to a psychotherapist about concerns over the impact it's having on kids. And everything old is new again. We'll speak to one expert about the explosion in demand for analog technology, from VHS and cassette tapes to old boomboxes. That's on the next CP24 Breakfast, up first at 5 a.m.
An Ontario artist will have his paintings on display at Queen's Park Monday to mark World Autism Awareness Day.
CTV's Elena Everson reports on his journey and how art has made a difference in his life.
Morgan Kitching is a nonverbal autistic artist who discovered his love and talent for painting 4 years ago. His mother believes the combination of color and creating have led to remarkable changes in Morgan, including improvements on an eating disorder.
And the more he painted, the more he ate. It seemed that the colors would imitate the food. For example, the red, He's eating cranberries now. The green, he's eating salads. His whole diet has changed.
Pierre Sabrin is Jocat's partner and a landscape artist who has sold his work all over the world. He also teaches art and says over the past 4 years, Morgan's artistic talent has blossomed, and other abilities too.
Seen some incredible changes in Morgan. When I first met Morgan, I couldn't communicate with him at all. And all of a sudden we were able to communicate through color. And that's an amazing experience just in itself.
The family is hoping Morgan's exhibition of 200 paintings on display at Queen's Park shines light on the power of art.
Well, I hope they take away the fact that there's more therapies out there than one or two, and they should just let their children explore, use lots of paint. Don't ever give up hope is the typical standby statement, and just allow them to create.
Alan Everson, CTV News, Sudbury.
And you can learn more about Morgan and his work on Facebook at Morgan's Garden Art and Autism.
Cool. So what about the forecast? One final look. A bit of snow coming.
Yeah, there's some snow coming for tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be a quick and intense burst, and then it's going to move on out. But for tonight, things are looking pretty good. Get outside and enjoy an evening stroll if you're able to after the show tonight. Here's a look at the satellite and radar imagery. A little bit of cloud hugging the shoreline of Lake Erie. But other than that, we're enjoying a pretty nice sunset in many areas right now. Now, tomorrow morning, it is going to feel like spring. We're going to hit a high of about 8 degrees around the noon hour. And then the temperature is going to plummet. It's going to feel like winter by the dinner hour. Thursday is a pleasant day, but it is going to be chilly. And then Friday and Saturday, next rounds of active weather. And this time it looks like we're going to get into some periods of rain for Friday, but some mixing possible April 1st. And that is no joke, Nathan and Michelle.
Very nice. Be sure to join Omar Sachedina tonight at 11 for CTV National News, followed by Zoraida Allman with our next local newscast at 11:30.
In the meantime, our coverage continues anytime on CP24 and online at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
For Lindsay and all of us at CTV News, thank you for watching and have a good night.